I love that song, but I had no idea when it ended. I didn't have the slides back there. Good morning. My name is Nick Hutchins. I am the young adult and family minister here at Northeast, and this morning I'll be filling in this role. Most weeks our pulpit minister, Noah Eisenhower, is in, but with summer, is traveling a little bit. I told Noah, he was like, how much do you like to preach? And I said, I'm just here to help you. I don't have a desire to preach 30, 40, 50 weeks out of the year. But I said, like, if you're out of town, I'm glad to do it. Just let me be a part of a series. And he was like, I get that. That makes sense. But today, I'm in between series. So we finish Faithful Love, and next week we walk into End of the Wilderness, and he says, just whatever you want to say. And I'm like, I've got so many things I want to say, but I'm not convinced that you guys care to hear any of them. And so I'm thinking about this gap, and so today, some things that I've sort of thought about over the past several years that I think are true in my life, and I think might be true in your life, is as I fill the gap between series today, I want us to think about this question of mind the gap. If you've ever been to London, or you watched Harry Potter, sort of basically the same thing. Their underground railway system, and our daughter had the opportunity to go last spring, and so she was telling us about this. And that as people board the underground, or people board the train, as you stand on the platform, and there's a gap between you and the train, and they say, hey, just, you might want to pay attention to that. You know, if you were to get your toe caught in it or a coat hung in it, you know, we got some bad problems. So they say, in the train system, they say, mind the gap. So here's what it, Dan's going to turn her volume up. Here's what it sounds like and looks like if you're in London.
Mind the gap. Mind the gap. Mind the gap.
And so just a reminder to mind the gap. As we fill in the gap this week, next week we're moving into a series called Into the Wilderness. Noah's going to be walking us through Leviticus and Numbers, two really hot takes out of the Old Testament. But there's a lot of really good stuff there. So it's probably something that is probably the place that your yearly Bible reading goes to die. You start off in Genesis and Exodus in January, you're like, I am on fire, I am locked in. And then you get to Leviticus and you sort of get hit in the face and you're like, maybe next year, right? But you can come back, Noah's going to walk you through it. Some really, really, really cool text that even in this Old Testament is pointing us to Jesus, the one that we're here for today. And so I did want to throw out to you, out in the lobby, there's some reading guides that Noah has put together. So as we get prepared for next week to jump into Leviticus and Numbers, this series will run for 11 weeks. And just some super simple Bible readings for you guys to do to help you as you do that and to show up on Sundays sort of prepared for where we're going. So as we think about this idea of mind the gap, sort of this invitation to pay attention to the space between where you are and where you need to be. And so I've never been to London, but there are a lot of gaps in my life. There are a lot of spaces in my life that I probably ought to pay attention to. And maybe you're something like me. That I'm right here, but I want to get there, but there's a gap that I have to reconcile, I have to address, I have to heal, I have to own. I can't pretend it's not there. And so this morning, we sort of come all with our gaps. And this morning, I just want to awaken us to this idea of what do we do with these? This gap between where we are and where we want to be, or one way I think to think about it, the gap between my experience and my expectation, that there are things in my life that I have conjured up, that I have imagined in my creativity, and when I get there, it just falls flat. High school prom was that. Any of you guys that went to prom? Right, you grow up, and in middle school, you're talking to me, kids are already talking about the prom, and it's this epic night, and this it's all this stuff. And I went, we spent a ton of money, went with some great friends, didn't make any bad decisions. But I remember going home that night thinking, man, that's all right. It didn't meet my expectation. Maybe your marriage hasn't met its expectation. Maybe your faith, this faith that you had at 15 and 16, that you were very passionate, you were sort of sold out, you were all in for Jesus, and somehow you're 35 or 40, and what you expected at 15 with this faith has now become a little stagnant, a little bit cold. And what you anticipated your experience today is saying, it's a little less than. See, I think we all have incredible gaps in our life between where we are and where we want to be, between our experience and our expectation. And so I just wrote a few down because I want you to find yourself here. Because I think one of the most dangerous places that we could live in is a place that we pretend that I don't have gaps. To pretend that I live in a place that I have it all figured out and that I'm clicking along, because when I get to that place, my need for Jesus goes to zero because I've got it all handled. And so this morning, I want to offer just encouragement to all of us. Because I'm going to guess all of us show up today with gaps, with deficiencies in our life. Living under the lordship of Jesus Christ, who has moved in our direction to help address the gaps in our life, that we can move forward with optimism and courage and boldness and not be stuck on this side of the platform when there's somewhere else that we could go. And so some things that maybe you can connect with. I think there's a gap in my life between who I am and who I want to become. That today as I stand here, I'm not everything I want to be. There is a gap between my intentions and my actions. There's a gap in my knowing and my doing. There's a gap in what I imagine life would be versus what life really is. I have a gap in wanting to be known fully but feeling lonely. There are gaps in our relationships. There are gaps in our relationships with our parents. There are gaps in relationships with our spouses. There are gaps in relationships with our children, with our coworkers. There's a gap between what I wish I had said and what I actually said. There's some gaps there. There's a gap in wanting to flourish but only surviving. Wanting to be courageous but experiencing fear. There's a gap in wanting to peace, wanting to experience peace but being wrecked with anxiety. There's a gap. There's a gap in wanting to be authentic but feeling like I have to pretend. Spiritually, there's a gap between my Sunday and my Monday. Between my religion and my relationship, between my guilt and grace, between my faith and my fear, between knowing Scripture and living Scripture. My life is full of gaps. And there's a gap between who I am and who God created me to be. And so the question isn't whether for me or whether for you the gaps exist. The question is, what do we do about these gaps? And so in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is going to write about a gap. Chris talked about it. Grady read the scripture about it. But not a gap that we just sort of need to pay attention to, but a gap that we have no way to cross. Not a question of what does it look like for me to move my life forward, to improve, to be more enhanced, to be a little bit better here or here, but we're talking about a chasm that is insurmountable on my end because of my sin. And so this morning I want us to think about who we are, but also seeing that God moves in our direction first when he sees our gaps. That I think very often one of the most popular sections in a bookstore are going to be self-improvement sections. Right? We got books on how to get out of debt and how to stay healthy and how to raise my kids and how to get the next job and how to pass my MCAT and all, right? We go and we consume and I've got this. I just need to work harder. But Paul is going to begin in a place of saying, your hard work's not going to take care of this problem. that God is going to have to move on your behalf to mind the gap for you. And so we open up in Ephesians chapter 2. And here, before we talk about growth, Paul wants to talk about grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, he says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and as your sin." And I'll be honest with you, raising up, having spent my entire life in the church, I find it a little offensive to be told that I was dead. When I was growing up, I was a pretty good kid. I made good grades. I played multiple sports. I was nice to old people. I dressed nice. I even had a little tie tack and polished shoes on Sunday mornings. I didn't dishonor my parents in extravagant ways. And I was reminding over and over and over, "You're a great kid. You're a great young man." I can remember a guy was one night as a youngster. I was 14, 15, 16 years old. And I preached one night, and I probably need to go back and apologize for it. But I preached, and this dad, who I still know, comes down the aisle with tears in his eyes. And he said, "Nick," I said, "man, if my boy could grow up and be just like you, I'd be tickled to death." I was like, "You daggum right. Grow up and be like the kid." And I hope to God he didn't grow up to be like me. Because what they saw was somebody on a stage with a little bit of giftedness. But what he didn't see was my heart. He didn't see who I was. And I hope that he grew up to be something more than me. But see, there was everything about my life growing up, and maybe in your life too. You're great. You are special. And yet Paul's going to come in and say, "Forget it, Nick. You were dead. You were lifeless. You were hopeless. There's nothing good about you. You were destitute. Don't believe the lie, Nick. You're not a pretty good kid. You are rotten, and you are separated by the living and holy Father because of your sin. That's who you are." And I am, as an adult, having to grow my way into owning this. That really the truth about me and the truth about you is that I was dead. I can't fix it. I can't work my way into it. I can't polish up my shoes and trick God into believing that I have my stuff together. Paul's going to say, "Nick, you were dead, but it's okay. You are still deeply loved. My love for you was never about how well you did it. My love for you was, even while you were dead, God moved on your behalf in the story of Jesus to reconcile things that you can't fix." It's good news. It's really good news. And so this idea that you were dead, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient, this idea of when you followed, it's this idea of slavery, of being shackled, of being imprisoned by the ways of the world. Nick, you were dead. You were a slave to the ways of the world. There was no setting yourself free. But in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, "But God," I love this, and I've shared this idea when it comes across in passages before. Hey, Nick, you were dead. You were a slave to the ways of the world, but the story shifts. It takes the spotlight off me and who I am in my deadness and in my sinness, and it puts a spotlight on God. "But Nick, you were dead, but God, who is great, who had great love for us, who is rich in mercy," God moved in light of who I am. God moved. Not because I deserved it. Not because I didn't have gaps in my life, but because I have enormous gaps in my life. And God says, "I didn't create you to live that way. Let me solve it. I'm going to give you everything that I have in my Son to begin to bridge gaps that you don't have the power to bridge. Nick, I don't want you to be far away from me. I want you to be close. But your sin, It's too big of a gap. And I've got to send someone that will cover that and open up a pathway between you and I. So, Nick, you were dead, but God, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ even when we were dead. And I love this. I just thought about this week, and I've read this passage a million times, that the work of Jesus was not about improvement. It wasn't saying, Nick, I need you to improve. It was saying, Nick, I need you to be resurrected. And that's very different. I need you to be resurrected into something brand new. And we're not taking something that's a little broken, a little tarnished, and cleaning up some edges. That through the work of Jesus, Nick, I need you to come to life, to be made something brand new, to be resurrected to join the living. That's the work of Jesus. That's the work of Jesus. And so today we celebrate that because we have a God who has already begun to bridge gaps for us. God says, hey, I see the gap. I'm going to move towards you, and I'm going to fill in that gap that you can't solve, that separation of sin between humanity and God. I'm going to bridge that gap with my son so you can be in relationship with me. Good gravy. Pause. There we go. But God says, I'm going to bridge that gap. And so we can have hope in our life that the gaps that we experience now don't have to be forever. Because God has shown us that through the work of Christ, that these gaps can be healed and that we can move across them. But I want to warn us that the gospel doesn't eliminate every gap overnight. You can love Jesus and still see gaps everywhere in your life. I was somewhere not too long ago in a room full of teenagers. And they had listened to a lesson, and the person came up on stage, and they were like, hey, really quick, like, share something you heard tonight, blah, blah, blah. And some kid raised his hand and said, hey, what I learned was that if you follow Jesus, life goes the way that it should. The person I was sitting with leaned over and said, should we tell him that's bad theology now, or should we tell him later? I've been in the process of following Jesus for 35 years. And I've got more gaps in my life than I can count. I've still got fear. I've still got frustration. I've still got disappointment. I still have anxiety. I still have sadness. I still have gap after gap after gap. Following Jesus doesn't fix them all. But it gives us a way to step into them and to begin to heal them over the course of our lifetime. And I think one thing is really true, that saying yes to Jesus is really easy. Very often at church we'll say, you know, during singing this song, you come forward and say yes to Jesus and we'll baptize you. Other than maybe a little stage fright, that's pretty easy. I tell you, the hard part about following Jesus for me has been growing up. And at 50, I'm still growing up. In ways that I didn't think I would have to keep growing up. I thought I would have it figured out by now, but I don't. And so I want us to talk about three simple ideas as we think about stepping into the gap. Number one, I want us to be able to own the gap. To own it. I think sometimes we pretend that life is really better than it is. Sometimes we pretend that it's better than it is. And I'm going to guess that sitting here today, some of you guys, your faith is hanging on by a thread. I'm really, really glad you're here. Some of you guys probably are sitting here today with incredible sadness or anxiety about something that's going on in your world. I'm really glad you're here. There's something about image that makes us want to pretend like we don't have gaps. I ignore them. I diminish them. I don't call them what they are. And so I think the first thing I want us to think about this morning is, what does this look like for us to own them and admit that they do exist? On October 14th, 1912, John Schrank, attempted to assassinate Theodore Roosevelt. He was making his third run for the U.S. presidency, had a huge following, and there were crowds everywhere, and John Schrank ended up not really even being held reliable because he was insane and felt like he had heard voices to assassinate Theodore Roosevelt. But he was actually, Theodore Roosevelt was actually on his way to give a speech. And John Schrank walks out and he pulls the trigger and hits him right in the chest. And he falls back, and so his security team and whatever that looks like in the early 1900s, they're like, "Oh, well, we got to get you to the hospital." And he says, "No, I've got a speech to make." They're like, "No, you just got shot in the chest, bro. Like, we're taking you to the hospital." He said, "No, you're not. I've got a speech to make." And he stands up before the crowd. They transport him to the thing, and he realizes that he's not coughing up blood, so his lung hasn't been punctured, so he feels like he's going to be okay, at least for the short term. And he goes and makes one of the longest speeches ever in his attempt for the third presidency. But here's what he says, and I love this. "Ladies and gentlemen, I shall ask you to be as quiet as possible. I don't know whether you fully understand that I have just been shot in the chest, but it takes more than that to kill a bull moose." I think there are probably times, like I said, "I don't know if you fully understand, but I've been shot in the chest. I don't know if you fully understand, but I am so afraid for my marriage right now. I don't know if you fully understand, but my anxiety level of whether my children are going to live and be healthy and flourish is overwhelming my spirit right now. I don't know if you fully understand that I have struggled to pray for the last 2 years. I don't know if you fully understand the weight of what it looks like to care for my aging parents. I don't know if you fully understand." This is our reality, guys. But it takes something to own it. And I think it would be so foolish to own it with everybody, but I'm going to ask you two things. Number one, can we own it with God? You see, the gospel says, "Nick, quit pretending. Nick, I saw you when you were in the ditch and you were dead and you were hopeless, and I loved you so much. I moved in your direction. I gave you my son to lift you up out of the ditch, to resurrect you into something brand new. You can tell me your gap, son. I can handle you." God is okay with that. To tell God, "God, I am so afraid right now." He's not angry at you. He's not mad at you. He's not disappointed in you. Kind of psychotic dad would that be? For my 16-year-old kid to run in my room and say, "Dad, I am so afraid." And to ridicule her, to make fun of her because she's afraid. No, what does a dad do? "Oh my goodness, come on, come here." And I'm just a clumsy dad. I promise you, he's a much better dad than I am. Number one, own your gaps with God. It's okay. He can handle them. And number two, try your best to find somebody with skin on that you can own your gaps to. Be wise. Be wise. But we ought to have real live humans, maybe just one, maybe two. If you get more than two, I'd say you're incredibly fortunate. But are there one or two people in your lives that you can own your gaps with? I have a young man that I spend some time with, and called the other day, and he said, we were just chit-chatting, he said, "Hey, before I do anything, like, I just want to own up, like, I made this mistake last week, and I just want you to know that. I didn't even ask about it." He said, "I just want to own my gap. I want to be better. I want to be called to more, and I care about you, and I think I can trust you, and so before we talk about anything else, like, I just want to let you know, here's my gap." And I thought, oh, so refreshing. He doesn't have to pretend with me. I'm not mad at him. And so as we think about owning our gap, number one, you can trust God with it. Number two, find somebody with skin on that you can trust. But I think there's something about our world that rather than owning, it says, it's fine. Everything's fine. We say this a lot in our house, right? Some of those days that are just a little bit crazy, right? We're not even sure we like each other. We're not even sure we like our kids. Like, we're just trying to get to bed. Like, that's really what we're doing. And you walk through and like, hey, is everything okay? Like, I can feel some energy. It's fine. Everything's fine. Just keep going. But let's be honest, this is sort of how we live our life. House is burning down around us. We sit there and say, meh, it's fine. Maybe we move to a place where we can own it and say, you know what, it's not fine. This right here is broken. And it's limiting me from getting from here to there. And I want to address that. I want God to heal that. I want you to partner with me in that. That is not fine. This is really causing me some problems. There's a scary prayer in Scripture that I would invite us to pray. In Psalm 139, search me, God, and know my heart. Search me, God, and I want you to know my heart. I'm not pretending with you. I'm not hiding from you. I'm inviting you in to my private places. Search me. Dig around. Poke around. Ask questions. Provoke. But I want you to know my heart. I want you to test me. And I want you to know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way. See if there are any offensive gaps in my life, and lead me into a way everlasting. That's a scary prayer. It's easy memorization work. It would be easy in Bible Bowl. It would be a pretty easy class to teach. But in the stillness and quietness of my space, to pray and to invite God in. God, would you search me and know me? And I want you to highlight all the gaps so you can lead me into a better way of living. Number one, let's get to a place where we can own them. The gospel gives us permission to tell the truth. Because if my identity is secure in Christ, I no longer have to protect my image. That Christ says you are loved. Christ says you are enough. Christ says you are my beloved. Christ says you are my workmanship. Christ says you are my prized possession. You are my royal priesthood. You are the works of my hand. You are valuable. With God, I don't have to pretend. He's already spoke the truth over my life. And if you disagree, that's okay. It's okay. It's okay to be misunderstood. But the gospel says, Nick, you don't have to pretend anymore. You can tell the truth. Moving on quickly. Number one is to learn to trust God in the gap. In Psalm chapter 13, one of the sections of Scripture I love the most are the laments in the Psalms. There's 150 Psalms. The vast majority of them are laments because I think it most directly correlates with human experience. There are some songs of praise and songs of exaltation and songs of the ascent, but there are more laments than anything else. And I think it's a way of saying there are more people in Scripture whose experience didn't meet up to the expectation. And they come before God and they're saying, God, I've got these gaps in my life. But in Psalm chapter 13, the psalmist says this, and I think God can handle it. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? You see, God, I've got a gap between who I thought you were and what my experience is now. And I'm frustrated. I'm discouraged. I thought you were present, but now I'm not even sure you're around. How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. The psalmist here has got some gaps he's working through. He's got some inconsistencies that he can't quite reconcile. My enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. There is nothing going right in the story of the psalmist. Gap after gap after God is not who I thought he was. He's not present like I thought he was. I got these enemies coming over here. I can't see where I'm going. Like, my life is just full of gaps. And what I'm experiencing today is not what I thought it would be. God, what are you going to do about it? But I love there's this rhythm in the Psalms that I think we can learn from. God, my life is so full of gaps and I'm frustrated with you because I don't know where you're at. But then so many of the Psalms are going to end with this, but I trust in your unfailing love. But I trust you. My life is full of gaps and full of inconsistencies, and I am so frustrated, but I remember a time that you were faithful. I remember a time that you led me. I remember a time that you cared. I remember a time that you were present. I remember a time that you moved in my direction, and even though my experience right now doesn't feel too hopeful, I'm going to anchor my faith back in a moment when you were. And it's this idea, this unfailing love that we just spent the last 10 weeks talking about, living out faithful love on our own, in our marriages, in our relationships, in our dating, in our singleness, and all these kind of things. And this invitation is for you and I to live out who God has always been. But I trust in your unfailing love, and I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. The last thing I want us to think about is not to settle in the gap. There's a difference in understanding that growth takes time and settling into a place of less than. I don't know that we live in a world, honestly, today that really expects a lot out of us. I've told my two teenage daughters that I think really to get ahead in this life, you need to show up a little early, do it better than what was expected of you, and treat people fairly, and I think you'll just move past everybody. My youngest daughter just got a job at a clothing store, and she's got a horrible resume. She's a 16-year-old homeschool kid who had worked at Chick-fil-A for about a year, and she got a job. And so I asked her boss, and I said, I'm just curious, why does she get a job? She said, because she called me back. And then when I called and asked about setting up an interview, she offered to come in and meet me in person, and she actually showed up on time, so she got the job. Let's not settle. I think, like, how tragic would it be to imagine all that God has gifted us with and all that God has in store for us, but to be limited by these little gaps. That number one, Jesus has stepped in to remove, that God has gifted us with the Holy Spirit so he can reconcile us and regenerate us, that he is making us alive, and to get to a point in life where we say, you know what, I'm just good enough. I'm whole enough. I'm capable enough. The marriage is good enough. My parenting is good enough. My integrity is good enough. And I'm just going to settle. I'm just going to settle. But I will say, if bitterness is still controlling you after 10 years, you might want to do something about it. If relationships with people have moved on for a decade and you still can't let it go, I would say, let's unsettle that. Let's heal that. If there's a sin that just keeps popping back up in life week after week, month after month, decade after decade, can we not settle there? Can we move on? And because I think some of these things we say, they're personality traits. Nothing floors me worse than anything else is for somebody that maybe has an anger issue to say, well, you know, my dad was angry and I'm angry and that's just the way it's always going to be. Like, how ignorant. Really? Or I'm Irish. I lose my temper quick. And so we justify gaps in our life because of somebody else or because of my heritage? What? And to tell the Holy Spirit, I know you think this is powerful, but you can't overcome where I came from. You can't change me. You can't close this gap. This is who I am. Are we really going to settle there? Or say, in spite of where I came from, in spite of where I was born, in spite of what I've walked through, I'm not going to settle, and I'm going to continue to lean into the work of the Spirit. I'm going to continue to own it. I'm going to continue to trust God in it. And I'm going to continue to push in, because God has a work in me that's more than saying, this is what I am. This is as good as it's going to get. Because in Ephesians chapter 2, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Look at the person next to you. We don't usually do this in church. Look at the person next to them. Look them deep in the eyeball and say, you're God's handiwork. Go. And look at everybody smiling. It's like, man, I've been called lazy, I've been called stupid, I've been called all kinds of things this week, but there's something good to be reminded that you are God's handiwork. You are. You were dead. Christ moved on your behalf through the cross, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He made you alive. He gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit to continue to form you and to shape you and to mold you so that, not so that you can be loved. You are fully loved. Not so that you can earn God's favor. You have all of His favor. But that you are God's handiwork. He gave you the Spirit to regenerate and to make you alive so that you can partner with Him in healing the spaces around you. That God has a purpose for you. God has meaning for you. He has a job for you that is unique to you and to your sphere. I'm not you and you're not me. I've got my own. But you're being made for something more. And to look at the creator of the universe and say, thank you so much for Jesus, but I'm just going to pull up a lawn chair and I'm just going to sit right here, no thanks to the work you're doing in my life. Crazy. It's crazy. But I will tell you from experience, it is easy. It is so easy to pull up my chair and to be reminded from when I was 16 years old, you're a pretty good kid. And to sit there and to hang on to that story. And to say no thanks to this story. So just a reminder, we all have gaps. God knows it. God sees it. God stepped into it to heal it. And so today, we just need to own them. It's fine. Not say, yeah, I have all these gaps and I'm going to do anything about it. But, yeah, I'm still wrestling with this. But I want to tell the truth about it, and I'm tired of pretending, and I want to move forward. And God, I'm going to trust you. Like, I have shown up week after week, and I've tried to address it. I've prayed this. But I'm trusting that you're doing a good work behind closed doors that I can't see, because I'm still feeling the tension of this. I'm still feeling the disappointment. God, I'm going to trust that you're working, that we're putting ourselves at the feet of Jesus, making ourselves available. And that we can live, that we can grow, that we can move forward, that we become more and more the handiwork of Jesus, the handiwork of God for His purposes. And so today, I want you to leave encouraged. Don't leave here thinking, oh, I just got reminded of all the gaps in my life. Yeah, I want you to note, remember, you've got some gaps, but you've got a Father who's desperately in love with you and has given everything He has for you to say, no longer. We're going to move forward in some of these, and I'm going to grow into my potential to who God has invited me to be. And so this morning, I want to end in prayer. We'll invite Ben up, and then we'll sing. Father God, we're thankful that you moved in our direction first, even while we were dead in our sin, our trespasses, and that you gave us your very best in Jesus to resurrect us, to breathe life into our lungs, to make us alive again. And Father, for the work that you continue to do in our hearts through the Spirit to make us into more, not to earn your favor, not to earn your love, not to earn your grace. Father, we have been fully given that, but that you continue to partner with us to grow us to be more in your image, to partner with you in the kingdom and the things that you have in store for our world. Father, you are so good, you are so kind, and you are so patient. And so, Father, we bring you our gaps. We bring you our weaknesses, our frustrations, our disappointments, our hang-ups. And we invite you into those to heal those. May we be at your feet in a position to grow and to accept those challenges and to move forward that through seasons, through months and years. Father, as we explore more gaps, that we step into those. And Father, we just want to be as whole and as complete and healthy as we can to be useful to you. So we love you and give you our day. We pray all this through the strong name of Jesus. Amen.